Welcome to the Windows Workflow Foundation Developer Screencast Series. My name is Matt Milner, and I work for Pluralsight, a training company that provides both instructor-led and online courses for Microsoft developers. Visit www.pluralsight.com for more details. In this short screencast, I'm going to show you how to work with transactions in Windows Workflow Foundation. From the simple use case of just scoping some activities to participate in a transaction, to a bit more advanced scenarios where you can actually queue up work into a transaction, either from an activity or from the host that's sending data into your workflow. Now, using transactions in Windows Workflow Foundation is one of the key components of providing consistency. Consistency between the work that happens in your activities, as well as consistency between that work and the state of your workflow, the persisted state. And using transactions couldn't be simpler. You simply drag a transaction scope activity from the toolbox and add it into your workflow, and that provides a composite activity or container into which you put other activities. And you have a couple of different settings here in terms of the transaction scope itself. You can see in the properties, you can set the isolation level and the timeout for the transaction. So that's pretty straightforward, but there are a couple of things going on behind the scenes here. One is that the transaction scope requires a persistent service. If you're going to add a transaction scope, you have to have a persistent service. And that's because the transaction scope guarantees you two things. One is that at the end of that transaction scope, as part of the same transaction that's been used for all this work, the workflow is going to save out the state of your workflow into a persistent store. And it's going to use that same transaction. And that's what guarantees you consistency between the work in your activities and your workflow and the state of the workflow. So you don't end up going back and accidentally redoing some transacted work. And the other thing is that during that transaction scope, it guarantees you that it won't persist. Now, the thing about the transaction scope is that you can have activities in here that do things such as work with a database, send messages to a queue, call WCF services if you have them set up to flow transactions, all of those things where you can just have it automatically enroll in the ambient transaction. And so that's all pretty straightforward. I could put a couple activities in here that just work with a database and that would happen. But the other thing that you can do within Windows Workflow is you can explicitly work with a set of work items or items in a work batch to participate in the transaction. So that's what we're going to take a look at here. We can see I have a transaction scope and I have a write line activity that's simply going to write out to the console and say it's inside the transaction. I then have these two instances of a custom activity, a transactional activity. And the first one says, here's the first work from the activity. And the second one indicates that there's more work to do. So we have those two pieces of data that will be written out to the console. And then finally, I have a write line activity again that says it's the last activity in the transaction scope. Now, what I want to show you here is that what happens with these activities is rather than do their work immediately when it's their turn to execute, what they're going to do is they're going to batch that work up. They're going to add it into the work batch so that when the transaction is ready to commit down here at the end of the transaction scope, down here after write line 4, that's when they'll go out and do their work. So if we take a look at the activity itself, it's pretty simple. We can see that in its execute method here, it simply goes in and calls get service. I'm going to call out to a particular service we have out there called transacted service and says do activity work and simply passes in the string that we've configured. In this case, we're just using a simple write line operation, but again, this could be information about a database call that needs to happen, a message that needs to be sent. And so if we look at what that service does when we call it, you can see that it simply goes into the workflow environment, gets a static reference to this work batch, and calls the add method. And the add method takes two things. It takes an iPending work instance, so something that implements iPending work, and it just takes an object that is your state of your data. And so here we're passing in this reference for the transacted service. And so the way this works is you essentially add items into this work batch and you're associating them with some handler that implements this iPending work interface. And then that ipending work provides three different operations. The main one that we're interested in is the commit operation. So your class that implements ipending work in its commit gets a reference to the transaction and all the items that you've added into the work batch and associated with this particular implementation of ipending work. So I've given it these two items from the individual activities. And so it would have two of those items. And what we're going to do in this case is simply write out information about the transaction, as well as go out and go through all the items down here and write those out as well. And so what you'll see, we'll run this, and you'll see the first piece of this. We start the workflow. You can see in the green that the two write line activities, the first one and the fourth one, are actually going to look like they executed first. Let me get both of these up here so you can see them. So you can see that the write line 3 here wrote inside transaction. When these transactional activities worked, rather than in their execute actually doing some work and writing out, they added it into the work batch. And so the next thing you see happen is this last activity in transaction scope, or this write line 4, where it writes out to the console. And then when the transaction scope itself is ready to commit, that's when we call out to that transactional service or that ipending work interface and call commit. And there we pass the data that each of these activities has added. And we can see then that we get the transaction information and we get the two pieces of data that we added in there, our two items, and we execute over those. Now, we've got some other things going on here that we'll take a look at. But that's really one of the ways that you can make transactional activities. And the benefit is that these activities, as they execute, aren't going out and opening connections. They aren't doing a bunch of work as part of this transaction until we get to the end of the scope. And so the benefit there is that we know when we get to the end of the scope that all the activities in this transaction have had the chance to evaluate the parameters, to try and set up their data, validated their current state, and that they believe they're ready and able to go out and do the work. So we don't start a bunch of this transactional work and tying up these resources we're talking to until the very end, where we're pretty confident that it's going to succeed. All right. Now, the other area where you can use transactions is when you're sending data in from the host. Now, one of the limitations of Windows Workflow is that you can't actually start a transaction in the host, like your ASP.NET web page or your Windows service. You can't actually start that transaction and have it flow into the workflow just by the way the threading model works. But what you can do is you can send some data in from the host, and you can participate in the transaction that the workflow creates. So rather than creating the transaction in the host and flowing it in, you can pass some data in and then get called back to participate when the transaction's ready to commit. And it works much the same way that we've been seeing. We're using that work batch. So you can see here, I've got my workflow runtime created. I'm looking at my program.cs. So I've created the runtime. And here we add in that transactional service. So this is what gives us access to that from our activities. We've got this TX service now that's in the runtime and available. And we start up the workflow. And here I'm making a call where I'm saying instance, my workflow instance, and queue item on idle. So I want to put some data on a queue for an activity. Here's the data. In our case, it's just queue data, it's a simple string. But the other two parameters here to enqueue item on idle are an ipending work and an object. Just like when we had the add to the work batch, that's really what we're doing here. Behind the scenes, we're taking that same ipending work and a piece of data, and we're adding that in. So what's going to happen then is when the workflow has a transaction and it goes to commit, it's going to call the commit method on our transactional service, and it's going to pass it this bit of data right here, this object, for it to work on. So the host now is able to add items essentially into the work batch to to participate in the transaction when it happens in the workflow. If we run that one more time, we'll get both the workflow and the output here. So we see there's the first part, right? And we completed the transaction for the transaction scope. And then down here, you see this wait activity one. That's really just waiting for that data. That's the activity that we're sending data to. And so we can see that it actually received its data. This is right within the activity where we're just doing a write line to indicate that that activity has executed. And then these other two write lines are executing, the last ones. We see after wait activity before complete, ending workflow. In the blue there, those are those last two activities. So again, we can see that the activity executed, these activities executed, and then at the end of the workflow, because we're using persistence and we've got the transactions here, it's going to use a transaction to go out and call the persistence service and let it know that this workflow is completed. And that then is when we actually see the transaction. And when it calls back into our transactional service and asks it to commit and gives it that piece of data from the host. So that host then is able to participate in the transaction. Now, the last couple things about the iPending work. I mentioned that the commit is really the most important. It's where you actually go in and do the work. You have access to the transaction, so you can enroll in that if you need to. But we have two other methods here. One is the complete method, which is going to tell you whether or not the overall transaction succeeded. Right? You automatically get rollback if you're enlisted in the transaction, but here you get notified to let you know whether the whole thing completed. So if you needed to do some cleanup, whether it succeeded or failed, you can do that. If you're doing some work that's maybe not fully transactional, you're not able to enroll in the transaction, you could implement some custom logic here where you'd say, in the commit, you'd go out and do the work. In the complete, you could kind of do a manual rollback, if you will. Now, I have other mechanisms for that. We have some things called compensation that I'll talk about in another screencast. And then the last thing in the iPending work is this must commit, where you can tell the runtime whether you're in a particular state where you must go out, you really need to go out and have it commit that transaction. Now, if you're using a persistent service, most of the time your service can just return false here, your implementation of iPending work, because the persistent service will really drive when those transactions need to commit, and you can just kind of piggyback on top of that. So that's transactions within Windows Workflow. You have the simple case where you can just add a transaction scope. You can put activities in there. If they're using database connections, if they're using queues or other transacted resources, you can all just participate within that transaction scope, and that all just works great. If you need a little bit more control or you want a little bit more control, you can write these transactional activities and have them add items into the work batch rather than execute immediately. And then when that transaction scope is ready to complete and ready to persist the state, you can participate in the transaction at that point. And finally, you can, from the host, when you enqueue items directly into the workflow, you can pass in an iPending work in some work object, some state or data, and participate in the workflow's transaction when it's ready to commit. And that allows you from the host to get called back to be able to execute data or execute some operations within that same transaction that the workflow is using. So you make sure you have the consistency between those operations and the state of the workflow. Thank you for watching this video in the Windows Workflow Developer Screencast Series. You can find more in-depth online training videos at Pluralsight.com. Pluralsight offers an extensive library of online training courses covering a variety of current and emerging Microsoft technologies, and you can access this valuable content from anywhere, anytime, within just a few clicks, while still learning from industry experts you trust. Check it out today at Pluralsight.com.